One of the strangest and most beautiful stories of the 20th century occurred between the years 1916 and 1920 in the hill country of central Portugal. Three shepherd children, the eldest 10, the youngest 7, reported 6 times in 1917 that they had seen a lady made holy of light who stood on a small tree, spoke to them, and vanished. 2 of the little shepherds died in childhood, as the lady had foretold. Time has verified her other prophecies: the Russian Revolution, which began soon after, the horrors of World War II, and the spread of terrorism and of violence. It is a story that also contains a secret, and a message on which the future of our civilization may depend.
Fatima by William Keenan, with Mary Wimbush as Sister Lucia.
To Dom José Correa da Silva, Bishop of Leiria. Your Excellency, having implored the protection of the most holy hearts of Jesus and of Mary, our tender mother, and sought light and grace at the foot of the tabernacle, I now begin the task you have set me, knowing that the will of your Excellency is for me the expression of our good God. In full submission to God's most holy will, pen in hand, I now come to lift the veil from my secret and reveal the story of Fatima just as it is. Before the happenings of 1917, apart from the ties of relationship that united us, no other particular affection led me to prefer the companionship of my cousins Jacinta and Francisco. On the contrary, I sometimes found Jacinta's company quite disagreeable on account of her oversensitive temperament. The slightest quarrel among the children at play was enough to send her pouting into a corner, tethering the donkey, as we used to say.
Lucia!
Jacinta? Francisco? Calm down.
We had a race. I won.
You mean Francisco let you?
No, he didn't. I won.
Yes, you won, Jacinta. There, you see, Lucia? Francisco always loses. He lets everybody win.
No, he does not, Lucia. You're a rotten cousin if you say that.
You've only got to challenge him and he'll say, if you think you've won, I don't mind.
But I don't mind.
You see? Francisco, you should stand up for yourself more.
It doesn't matter, Lucia.
You should mind about some things.
What things?
Well, if anyone takes something from you, what do you do?
Let them have it. What do I care?
That's stupid. You annoy me when you talk like that.
Lucia, what sort of rumpus out here?
Sorry, Mother. I was just talking to Jacinta and Francisco.
Talking? You were shouting your heads off.
We've just come to see if Lucia is coming out to play.
Well, where were you thinking of going at this time of night?
To our threshing floor to watch the sunset and count the stars.
Well, off with you then, but keep the noise down.
Come on!
Arturo de Oliveira Santos, administrator of Orang, at your service. And may I also present Senor José Duvalli, editor of our newspaper, O Mundo.
Senor. How do you do?
May I say what a great honor it is to have such a distinguished member of our government in our midst. How was the journey from Lisbon, Minister?
Tiring.
Oh, would the Minister like some refreshment before beginning this?
No. I would like to get down to business immediately.
Of course.
The matter that brings me to your district is one of the chief aims of our revolutionary government. In 1910, when we freethinkers forged a republic and took over the reins of power, we vowed to pursue policies of progress and enlightenment.
You are quite so, Minister. And that is what we have been doing in Orang. Before we took power, I was a blacksmith, and I have had to hammer in changes as I hammered a horseshoe into shape.
Yes, and what have you done about hammering at the real reason for the sad material state of our country? Religion.
I can assure you, Minister, that we have seen that every one of the government's laws curbing religious superstition have been diligently put into effect.
With all due respect, Minister, I have never ceased to conduct a vociferous anti-clerical campaign in my newspaper.
Oh, yes.
We started off well. In our first years, we managed to suppress religious orders, made it illegal to wear clerical garb in public, curtailed religious instruction in schools, and gave government jobs to any clergy who left the priesthood. The success rate was excellent. 10%. In fact, over 10% left in those early years. But now we seem to have lost momentum, especially in this area.
You must appreciate, Minister, it is much more difficult to deal with religion in the country areas than in the towns and cities.
Do you remember what our present Prime Minister, Alfonso Costa, did when Minister of Justice 5 years ago? He went to Braga, the very heart of religion, and predicted an end of Catholicism in this country in one more generation. We must have the courage of our convictions. We must hold public protest meetings against religion and ridicule their clerics even more in our newspapers.
I will arrange a public meeting as soon as possible, Minister. And I am sure Senor Duvalli will be able to find more stories.
And one other subject that I need to discuss with you.
Yes, Minister.
It is our recent decision to reaffirm our ties with Britain and enter the war on the side of the Allies. It means many young men may have to be taken from the land, and it would be as well to prepare the way with recruitment meetings and newspaper editorials for a major mobilization. The more volunteers we get, the fewer will have to be conscripted.
Let's play buttons now.
No.
Why not?
Because you always want to choose the games, Jacinta.
You said you were fed up with playing pebbles.
I am, but I don't want to play buttons.
Why not, Lucia?
Because you won't give them back to me. And going home with buttons missing gets me into trouble with Mother.
I do give you your buttons back.
The only way I can get my buttons back is by threatening never to play with you ever again, Jacinta. You always want to keep them for the next game so you don't have to take off your own buttons.
Well, why not? Winners keepers. I'm not speaking to you.
Look at the sunset, Jacinta. It's coming to the last rays. Soon the stars will be out. The stars are the lamps of the angels.
Let's watch the first angel to light his lamp.
All right. And then for the moon, the lamp of Our Lady. What about the sun, Lucia? Whose lamp is that? The sun is the lamp of our Lord. I like the lamp of our Lord best. Look at that last ray of sunset.
I like the moon, Our Lady's lamp best, because it doesn't hurt your eyes.
Martha?
Oh, I'll have a small one with you, Antonio. Just a small one.
Thought you would have had enough tonight, Antonio. You've only just come back from the inn.
A man needs a drink after a hard day's work in the fields.
Not every night.
We were talking about the war. There'll be a lot of lads conscripted from the Sierra. They're saying they're going to need 200,000 men.
Oh, heaven forbid. War is God's punishment on evil nations. We should have kept out of it.
Well, they won't take us. We're too old. Anyway, you did your bit in Africa, Martel.
You wouldn't get me joining the army again. Let's drink to peace.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What do you think about it?
Oh, it's madness. The Pope's calling for peace. The government's going to war. Oh, what can you expect when they kill the king and persecute the church?
Do you want to be careful what you say, Martel?
Why should I? Why should our boys be killed in France? It's not our quarrel. Trench warfare, mud, machine guns, heavy artillery. Our lads aren't going to march to war. They're going to be led to the slaughterhouse.
Each day we used to meet at the Barrero, which was the name of a small pond at the bottom of the hill, and put our two flocks of sheep together. What Francesco enjoyed most was to perch on a rock and play his flute. We'd sing along with him.
Come on, Jacinta.
When we'd decided where we'd pasture the flock, we'd go off as happy and content as if we were going to a festival. We loved to hear our voices echoing down the valleys. And for this reason, one of our favourite amusements was to climb to the top of the hills, sit down and call out different names at the top of our voices. The name that echoed back Maria. Most clearly was Maria. Sometimes we used to say the whole Hail Mary this way, only calling out the following word when the preceding one had stopped re-echoing.
A good echo. Let's have our lunch now. Where's Francesco?
Still sitting on the rock playing his flute. Come down, Francesco. We're going to have our lunch.
That's everything tidy. Now, be the Mother of God.
We all sing it the quick way, aren't we, Lucia?
Yes. We'll just say Hail Mary and pass the beads through our fingers.
Our Father. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Glory be to the Father. Amen.
What's this? This is a good stone. It'll go right down into the valley.
That's a good throw, Francesco.
It's getting very windy, Lucia.
Yeah, what a strong wind. It's really starting to blow.
The tree's beginning to shake.
Wow.
I've never seen them sway so much before.
Look. There's a light in the sky. And it's moving.
We began to see, some distance off above the trees that stretched away towards the east, a light, whiter than snow, in the form of a young man, transparent. As he drew near, we could distinguish his features more and more clearly. We were totally absorbed.
Don't be afraid. I am the Angel of Peace. Pray with me.
Kneeling on the ground, he bowed down until his forehead touched the earth. We did the same and repeated the words we heard him say.
My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you.
My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you.
Pray thus. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplications. Offer prayers and sacrifices to the Most High.
How are we to make sacrifices?
Make of everything you can a sacrifice, and offer it to God as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended, and in supplication for the conversion of sinners.
We remained praying a long time. When at last we stood up, we noticed it was already dark.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, order, order, please. As administrator, I have called this meeting of fellow friends of progress and enlightenment to discuss ways of further curbing the power of the church and its interference in everyday life. It is the church which opposes our liberal and progressive measures and the sexual freedoms we wish to introduce. I now call upon our esteemed editor, Senor Jose Dovalle, to address you.
Friends and fellow free thinkers, one of the actions most welcomed was giving the Cardinal Patriarch of Lisbon just 5 days to leave and never to return. But now, what is happening? Behold, we learn the Cardinal is to be allowed to return to Lisbon. Why? We are told, and I agree, that sometimes you have to take one pace back to take a bigger leap forward. We have to be conscious of world public opinion. All right. We have taken a pace back. Now let's take the leap forward. Let's give the patriarch the push once again. This time, let us do it properly and in such a way as no one will ever again try to send him back to us. Religion throughout Portugal is in decline, gentlemen. We have now got to make one final all-out effort to send it to its grave.
Now, you. Capitano. What are you doing coming in here? Who are you, sir? State your name and business.
My name is Father de Silva. I have come to visit the forces of enlightenment.
As the administrator of these parts, I would advise you to leave.
Why? What offense am I committing? Is it not a public meeting?
You are not permitted to be here. We are all fellow members of a society, and your very presence could bring about a disturbance of the peace. We have nothing to do with clerics.
Oh, but you do. I can assure you of that from first-hand experience.
What do you mean?
I come to bear living witness to how your enlightened ideals are being put into effect. My crime was my priesthood. For this, I was dragged from my rectory and imprisoned and tortured. I'm now permanently lame, the result of being forced to stand for days and nights in freezing water.
So you have come to put a curse on us, black priest?
No, no, to pray for you. For you are cursing yourselves by trying to destroy the Church of Christ, the Church of Peter. Yes. Heed the warning of the Scripture, all you who set your face against the Church that Christ has entrusted with his teaching until the end of the world. Thou art Peter, and it is upon this rock that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Good night, gentlemen. May the Lord forgive you.
I love the golden heaven, I love him to on earth.
That 13th day of May 1917 dawned bright and fair like so many others before it. I'd started off feeling sad because my brother Manuel had enlisted and gone off to the war. But Jacinta soon cheered me up by getting me to sing with her. We chose to pasture our flock on some land belonging to my parents called Cova da Iria. We had to go slowly to give the sheep a chance to graze along the way, and in the distance I saw my aunt and uncle going off to market in their cart to buy a new pig. It was almost noon when we arrived at the cova. High up on the slope, we started building a little stone wall around a clump of bushes to make a house. Suddenly, we saw what seemed to be a flash of lightning. "We better go home," I said to my cousins. "That's lightning. We may have a thunderstorm." We began to go down the slope, hurrying the sheep along towards the road. We were more or less halfway down the slope when we saw another flash of lightning. We'd only gone a few steps further when, there before us, on a small home oak tree, we beheld a lady, all dressed in white. She was more brilliant than the sun and radiated a light more clear and intense than a crystal glass filled with sparkling water when the rays of the burning sun shine through it. We stopped, astounded before the apparition. Francisco wanted to throw a stone, but I stopped him. We were so close, just a few feet from her, that we were bathed in the light which surrounded her and which radiated from her. Then the lady spoke to us.
"Do not be afraid. I won't do you any harm."
"Where are you from?"
"I am from heaven."
"What do you want of me?"
"I want you to come here for 6 months. Every 13th day, at this same hour. Later on, I will tell you who I am and what I want. Afterwards, I will return here a seventh time."
"Will I go to heaven?"
"Yes, you will."
"And Jacinta?"
"She will go also."
"And Francisco?"
"He will go there too. but he must say many rosaries.
What about my two friends? The two girls who died recently, who used to come to our house to learn to weave. Is Maria Nevis now in heaven?
Yes, she is.
And Amelia?
She will be in purgatory until the end of the world.
Purgatory until the end of the world?
Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he wills to send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended and of supplication for the conversion of sinners?
Yes. Yes. We're willing.
Then you are going to have much to suffer. But the grace of God will be your comfort.
As she pronounced these last words, Our Lady opened her hands for the first time, communicating to us a light so intense that, as it streamed from our hands, its rays penetrated our hearts and the innermost depths of our souls, making us see ourselves in God, who was that light, more clearly than we see ourselves in the best of mirrors. And then, moved by an interior impulse that was also communicated to us, we fell on our knees.
O most holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, my God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament.
After a few moments, Our Lady spoke again.
Pray the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war.
Then she began to rise serenely, going up towards the east, until she disappeared in the immensity of space.
Oh, she's gone. I don't feel tired like I did after the angel had appeared.
Neither do I.
I saw the lady, but I couldn't hear what she said. She said we are going to heaven. But you'll have to say many rosaries, Francesco.
Whoopee! She promised I was going to heaven. Our Lady, I'll say all the rosaries you want.
Oh, what a beautiful lady. I can see what's going to happen. You'll end up telling that to somebody else, Jacinta.
No, I won't. I won't. You don't need to worry. I won't tell anyone.
Mum and Dad are back.
And Dad's got a pig.
Give me a hand, Francesco.
Oh!
Get the pig.
No, Jacinta! The way you grab hold of me, anybody would think I'd been away for a month. What is it, child?
Mother, I saw Our Lady at the Cobra's today.
Oh, yes, Our Lady's appearing to you now, is she? You're a big saint, I suppose.
I did see her, I did.
Come on, help me with these things.
There was a lightning, Mother. We all frightened and ran, and then I saw a ball of light. And Francesco wanted to throw a stone at it, and Lucia said no. And then it was so beautiful, Mother, she was ever so pretty. And she told us we must say the rosary every day and that we were going to heaven.
Oh, is that all? So, you saw a lady at the Culver.
Not an ordinary lady, Our Lady.
Of course. Who but Our Lady would appear to you, my girl?
Oh, the pig's in the shed. Now, something to eat. Oh, smells good. What is it?
The children have made us their special soup.
Well, I'm famished after my day out. Let's have it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive through thy bounty, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Now, Jacinta, tell your father what you've just told me about the lady.
Not a lady, Our Lady.
Delicious. Pass the bread, Olympia. What's this about Our Lady?
We saw her.
You what? Don't talk silly. Olympia, get Francesco to have his soup.
Francesco, sit down and help yourself.
We were getting stones to build a den and we thought it was lightning. We ran and then we saw a ball of light and then it was this beautiful lady, Father, all in white. She said we must say the rosary every day and that we were all going to heaven.
She what? Francesco, you heard what Jacinta just said. What have you to say about it?
I saw what Jacinta saw.
You did?
Yeah.
And was there this lightning, the ball of light, and the lady?
Yes, Dad.
It's the truth, Father.
Well, your cheeks are flushed and your eyes are gleaming bright. You're excited about something.
I don't care what she says. It's childish nonsense.
But Francesco says he saw the same.
It's the game they've been playing.
It doesn't sound like a game to me.
Well, yes, I agree. It's not a game. It's more serious and you'll have to do something about it.
What can I do about it? Well, just look at Jacinta.
Well, that's what I'm doing. A fine little saint she is, I must say. Just look at her.
Do you think they're both lying, then?
Well, I just don't know.
Mother!
But you'll have to do something about it, and it's up to you. You're the man of the house.
Well, at the moment, I'm going to do nothing. And I'll tell you why. This most probably will turn out to be nothing, but then... Well, who knows? The way I see it, from the beginning of the world, Our Lady has appeared many times and in many ways. The world may be a wicked place, but it would be a damn sight more wicked if she hadn't appeared.
And is that all you're going to say?
That's all I'm going to say, and anyone else in this house is going to say for the present. There's been enough talk. I won't have another word on the matter. We'll finish our meal in peace.
There was something within me that wouldn't let me keep quiet, Lucia.
What did you say?
I said that the lady promised to take us to heaven.
Oh, Jacinta.
Forgive me, I won't tell anybody anything ever again.
Well, don't cry now. Come and play.
I don't want to play today.
Why not?
Because I'm thinking. Our Lady told us to make sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. So, from now on, when we say the rosary, we must say the whole Hail Mary and the whole Our Father. And the sacrifices, how are we going to make them?
I can think of a good sacrifice. Let's give our lunch to the sheep. All right, Francesco.
And you know the poor children from Waiuta who go begging from door to door?
Yes. What about them?
Let's give our lunches to them.
Yes. It's better than giving them to the sheep. I'm glad you gave our lunches to the poor children, Jacinta.
So am I, but it's only the middle of the afternoon and I'm so hungry my tummy hurts.
We could eat the acorns on the home oak trees.
I'll climb up and get some. Ordinary acorns are much more bitter than home oak ones, so I'm going to eat the ordinary acorns.
Don't, Jacinta. They'll be too bitter.
It's because they're bitter I want to eat them. Anyway, what else can we eat?
We can eat pine nuts. And those little berries that grow on the roots of the yellow bell flowers.
Yes.
But we'll need to eat other things as well. We could have blackberries and mushrooms.
I've filled my pockets with home oak acorns.
Jacinta now wants the more bitter kind.
She would. I'm parched with thirst. I wish Lucia would come back with the water.
We can offer up our thirst until Lucia gets back.
Yes, but I hope she isn't long.
She's here now.
I've got a plan.
Don't run, Lucia. Mind the jug.
I knocked at the door of the nearest house, and a little old lady not only gave me this big jug of water, but also some bread. Here, Francesco, take the jug and have a drink.
I've changed my mind, Lucia.
Why?
I want to suffer for the conversion of sinners.
You have a drink, Jacinta.
But I want to offer sacrifice for sinners, too.
All right, I'll pour the water into a hollow in the rock so the sheep can drink it.
I can't see its lie, Mother.
Oh, yes, you can, and you will. You made up this lie and got the Marto children to back you up now, didn't you?
No, Mother.
Oh, come here, child. I'm your mother. I love you. I only want what is best for you. It takes courage to admit you've made a mistake. It's like going to confession. You just say what you've done and all is forgiven and oh, you're so happy afterwards. Lucia? Just tell me, Lucia. You know that telling a lie is sin?
Yes, Mother.
And that we should never be afraid of telling the truth, even if it means our death?
Yes, Mother.
God gave us the gift of speech to do good. Lies do harm. Oh, say something, child. Say it didn't happen.
I can't. Because saying it didn't happen would be a lie.
Oh, we are having that again, you little wretch. Lucia, don't you know that if you tell even one little white lie, you have to tell 1,000 more lies to cover it up?
Yes,
a lying tongue brings only deceit and misery, Lucia. You'll have no peace until you confess you're lying. And the longer you delay, the more unhappy you'll be.
Oh, why hasn't Lucia taken the sheep out?
I'm giving her here until she admits to me she's been lying. Everyone's been talking about what she's been saying.
Gossipy women will talk about anything. Lucia, you better go and let out the sheep now.
Oh, all right. Your father says you can go. But this evening, when you return, I am going to make you go to all the people you've deceived, confess you have lied, and ask their pardon. While you are out on Sarah, think of what I have said and what is going to happen to you. Oh, I'm glad you came, because I was hoping we could get together. I mean, as I keep telling Antonio, I don't know what's come over Lucia. You know what they called out to me in the street yesterday?
Oh, no, what?
What did they say?
They shouted, "How's Lucia? Is Our Lady going to walk over the roofs today? I don't know which way to turn."
They say they have to go to the Cove again on the 13th, but this month it's the Feast of St. Anthony. I can't see them leaving the fiesta to go to talk to their imaginary lady.
I don't know. Little Jacinta's been begging me non-stop to be allowed to go to the Cove. What did the prior say when you went to talk to him about it, Maria?
Oh, his advice was to let them go if they persisted, then to take them to him and he will question them thoroughly.
Well, that makes sense to me.
But I heard some folk are planning to go to the Cove to see what happens.
Oh, some grown-ups have less sense than children. Anyway, as far as our children are concerned, we won't stop them going, but we'll do our best to discourage them.
Yes. And I think the best thing for Olympia and me to do is to go to the fair in the next village. And we'll be out of it.
Don't cry anymore, Lucia. Did you have any trouble getting out? Nobody at home said a single word to me. Mother and my sisters are so horrible to me now. And only a little while ago I was so happy. But we are going to see Our Lady again today. Then we'll be so happy. I hope so, Francisco. Dry your eyes, Lucia. It's one more sacrifice we can offer her. Yes. I keep forgetting. We'll say the rosary of the people who have come.
As soon as we finished praying the rosary, we saw once more the flash of light. The next moment, Our Lady was there on the home oak, exactly the same as in May.
What do you want of me?
I want you to come here on the 13th of next month to pray the rosary every day and to learn to read. Later I will tell you what else I want.
I would like to ask you to take us to heaven.
Yes. I will take Jacinto and Francisco soon. But you are to stay here for some time longer. Jesus wishes to make use of you to make me known and loved. He wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart.
Am I to stay here alone?
No, my daughter. Are you suffering a great deal? Don't lose heart. I will never forsake you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God.
As Our Lady spoke, she opened her hands, and for the second time she communicated to us the rays of that same immense light. We saw ourselves in this light, as it were, immersed in God. Jacinta and Francisco seemed to be in that part of the light which rose towards heaven, and I in that which was poured out on earth. In front of Our Lady's right hand was a heart encircled by thorns which pierced it. We understood that this was the Immaculate Heart of Mary, outraged by the sins of humanity and seeking reparation.
The top of the home oak is covered in new growth.
Let's pick it. Please, take only the lower leaves.
What did Our Lady say to you, Lucia?
Hey, Francisco, you still here? Didn't you go up to heaven?
We didn't answer. Our parish priest sent word to my mother to take me to his house. So next day I walked along behind my mother, who didn't address one single word to me the whole way. I must admit I was trembling at the thought of what was going to happen.
Now, young lady, I'm going to question you in great detail, and then I will question your cousins. I warn you, I will compare your answers, and it will soon be obvious to me if you're lying. Now, let us start at the very beginning. People say the lady appeared to you last year. Is that true?
She never appeared to me before in May of this year, nor have I said so to anyone.
Did she want many people to be present on the 13th day of each month?
She said nothing about that.
Now, Lucia, I want you to tell me in great detail what the lady was wearing, what she held in her hands, if anything, which hand it was, what she said to you, and what you said to her. I want you to tell me everything.
Then Father Ferreira asked my mother to take me out of the room while he questioned first Jacinta and then Francisco.
Francisco, did you see our lady and did you also hear what she said?
I only saw her. I heard nothing of what she said.
Was there some light round her head?
Yes, there was.
Were there any ornaments on her dress?
There were some edgings of gold.
Was she carrying a rosary?
Yes.
Which hand was it in, and what colour was the rosary?
Afterwards, he called my mother and me back into the room.
Lucia, there is one discrepancy. Francisco told me the lady's dress had gold lines or edgings, which doesn't agree with what you told me.
It had no lines at all. Perhaps Francisco is thinking of the effect of the light surrounding the dress. There was a golden cord that seemed to border her mantle, and it shimmered in the light.
Well, Maria, I've finished my interrogation of all the children, which has been very minute and detailed and perhaps very tiresome for them. But it is essential to check and recheck before reaching any conclusion.
And have you reached any conclusion, Father?
It is most difficult. One thing I can say is this. It doesn't seem to me like a revelation from heaven. It is usual in such cases for our Lord to tell the souls to give their confessor, or parish priest, an account of what has happened. But this child of yours, on the contrary, keeps it to herself as far as she can. This may also be a deceit of the devil.
The devil, Father Ferreira said. These things might be from the devil.
No, it's not the devil, Lucia. They say the devil's ugly and that he's down under the ground in hell. But Our Lady is so beautiful and we saw her go up to heaven.
It might be better to say that I've been lying and put an end to the whole thing.
Don't do that.
Don't you see that now you're going to tell a lie, and to tell lies is a sin?
While in this state of mind, I had a dream which only increased the darkness of my spirit. I saw the devil laughing at having deceived me as he tried to drag me down to hell. On finding myself in his clutches, I began to scream so loudly and call on Our Lady for help that I awakened my mother. I can't recall what I told her, but I do remember that I was so paralyzed with fear that I couldn't sleep any more that night. This dream left my soul clouded over with real fear and anguish. My one relief was to go off by myself to some solitary place, there to weep to my heart's content. But Francisco sought me out.
I'm not going. I've already told you. I'm not going back there anymore. Don't you see that it can't be the devil? God's already sad enough on account of so many sins. If you don't go, he'll be sadder still. I've told you. I'm not going. And it's no use asking me any more.
But the following day, when it was nearly time to leave, I suddenly felt I had to go, impelled as if by a strange force. I called to see if Jacinta was still at home, and I found her in her room with her brother Francisco kneeling beside the bed. They had been praying all night. A few moments after arriving at the cova, near the home oak, we saw the flash of light once more. And a moment later, Our Lady appeared.
What do you want of me?
I want you to come here on the 13th of next month and to continue to pray the rosary every day so as to obtain peace for the world.
I would like to ask you to work a miracle so people will believe you are appearing to us.
Keep coming here every month. In October, I will tell you who I am and what I want. And I will perform a miracle for all to see and believe. I want you to sacrifice yourselves for sinners and to say many times, O Jesus, it is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
As she spoke, Our Lady opened her hands once more, as she'd done during the two previous months. The rays of light seemed to penetrate the earth, and we saw, as it were, a sea of fire. Plunged into this fire with demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened or burnished bronze, floating about in the conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames, now falling back on every side like sparks in huge fires without weight or equilibrium, amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair which horrified us and made us tremble with fear. The demons could be distinguished by their terrifying and repellent likeness to frightful and unknown animals. Terrified, we looked up at Our Lady, who said to us so kindly and so sadly,
"You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace. The war is going to end soon. But if people do not cease offending God, a worse war will break out during the pontificate of Pius XI. To prevent this, I come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer, and nations will be annihilated. But in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph."
Our Lady then told us the secret.
Ah, good evening, Senor Administrator.
Yeah.
What will you have to drink?
Something strong.
Oh, like that, is it? Yeah. Waiter, bring us a bottle of brandy. So, what's the trouble?
Oh, all this nonsense at Fatima. Oh. Today I've had our friend from Lisbon on to me.
Oh, the minister.
Yes.
You have my sympathies, Senor Minister.
Hmm. He says the government are most concerned about these so-called apparitions at Fatima. Everyone is talking about it.
Ah, thank you. What does he suggest should be done about it?
He says we should take all the necessary steps to put an end at once to this superstitious nonsense.
What necessary steps does he envisage? Your health.
And yours. He said I was to use the full weight of my authority, and I would have the backing of the government in all I did.
Ah.
But I must stamp it out completely.
Well, what are you going to do?
Oh. I am going to interrogate the children. Make them talk and tell me what this secret is supposed to be. And then denounce the whole thing and ban people from ever going to that place again.
Excellent. And in my newspaper, I'll start the ball rolling by calling on you to take strong, effective action.
Good. And I will naturally oblige.
I find alcohol supplies the required vitriol for my flowing pen. The more I drink, the more powerful and damning my prose. Well, In my next edition, I will accuse the clergy of inventing the apparitions, particularly the Jesuits. I will warn them that this outrage will only provoke bitter attacks on them and their organization.
The clergy who have been involved have treated it with the utmost skepticism. It is the peasants who are insisting there have been apparitions. Much to the embarrassment of the clergy, who at the moment are doing all they can to avoid any conflict with the authorities. And as far as I am aware, there are no longer any Jesuits in the area.
Well, we can't miss such a marvelous opportunity to ridicule the clergy. A woman in white appearing in the cobra and telling secrets to shepherd children.
Yeah. Jose.
Hmm?
Suppose the children have seen something.
Senor Administrator, we don't believe the medieval mysticism.
Lisbon wants a full report. I have to get to the bottom of it. But suppose there is something I can't explain.
Then I would suggest a more scientific approach. Psychosis, epilepsy, collective suggestion are logical explanations. But if you suppress it immediately, there shouldn't be any complications. And you have government backing.
Manuel Pedro Mato?
That's me.
Manuel Pedro Mato, I have formal notices for you and Antonio Abobora from the administrator of the Council of Arang.
Well, what does such a nabob want with Antonio and me?
You are hereby ordered to present your children for trial.
What?
The children who have disturbed the peace so notoriously. You are ordered to present them at the town hall at 12 noon on Saturday, August the 11th, 1917.
What are we going to do, Mato?
Well, I'm not going to take my children before any court. Besides, they couldn't stand the long journey on foot to Arang. It's 9 miles. I'll go there myself and see what they want.
Mm. Maria and me don't see it that way. Maria's convinced Lucia's lying. So she thinks Lucia ought to go and answer for herself. If she's lying, it's a good thing that she should be punished for it. And the whole business brought to an end. I'm going to the inn for a drink.
You seem to be spending a lot of time in the inn these days, Antonio.
My son's gone to the war. Maria's making herself ill, worrying about him. And with him going, I've lost my best help on the farm. Now there's all this trouble with Lucia. At least at the inn, I can get away from things for a few hours.
Is this all that has arrived? 2 men and a girl?
That's all, Senor Administrator.
But where are the rest? Where's the boy?
What boy, Senor Administrator?
There was a boy involved in these fabrications, too.
Fabrications, Senor Administrator?
Don't play the clodhopper with me. You have a son, haven't you? And we know that he is mixed up in all this, so why is he not here?
I thought you wanted to see me, the father. As head of the family, I must naturally bear responsibility for anything that's
happened. You were ordered to appear here with him. You have neglected to comply with you. Are you pretending to be stupid?
Yeah, I mean, no, Senor Administrator.
Oh, quiet, you fool. Antonio Abobara. Yeah, I'm glad to see you have complied and brought your daughter.
But it was very difficult, Senor Administrator. It was a very long way to bring her. Too far to walk. And she's not used to riding an animal. She kept falling off the donkeys.
Yes. What is your name, young lady?
Lucia.
Let her answer for herself. Lucia? I want to know from you the answer to certain questions regarding the stories that are circulating. Huh? Have you seen a lady at the Cova? And if you have, who do you think she is? And finally, what is all this about a secret? If anyone has told you a secret, I, as administrator, must be told of it, you understand? And before you can go home, I want you to promise me never to return to the Cova di Iria. Now, what have you got to say? Hasn't your daughter got a tongue in her head?
She can be very stubborn, Senora.
It's deliberate. She is just staring straight ahead and saying nothing. Order her to cooperate.
I already did, sir, before we came here.
Young lady, I want those questions answering. Now, that is an order. Will you just tell me the secret, then?
No.
Oh, so she has a tongue.
Seeing as your daughter has not been very cooperative,
perhaps we can have your views.
My views, Signor Administrator?
Your views about these things over in Fatima.
What, do you believe in them?
Oh, no, sir. I've always said it's just women's tales.
Hey, hey, hey. Now, Lucia, do you realize I have the power to put you in prison until you answer my questions? Hmm? You wouldn't like to be in a cell with all the villains and cutthroats of the Sierra, would you? But I'm going to let you go back home now. And I'll give you and the other children involved a short time to think about what I have said. You must all be ready for further questioning at any time. As for you two miserable specimens of fatherhood, I realize nothing further can be gained by questioning two of the most stupid clodhoppers it has been my misfortune to come across. Get out of here. Get out of my sight.
The 13th day of August dawned. Ever since the previous evening, crowds had been pouring in from all parts. In the midst of this commotion, an order came from the administrator telling us to go to the parish priest's house.
Children, Father Prior is going to question you in my presence. I must impress upon you that you must under no circumstances go to the Cova de Iria today, as this would be considered a deliberate intent to disturb the peace.
You have seen all the people who are coming here because of the things you have been saying. Who taught you to say these things?
The lady at the Cova, Father.
Anyone who spreads such wicked lies as the lies you are telling will be severely judged and go to hell if it is not true.
I'm not lying. I tell you only what I have seen and what the lady has said to me.
Is it true that the lady confided a secret to you?
Yes, Father.
As your parish priest, I order you to tell it.
I can't tell it. But I will ask the lady, and if she gives me permission, I will tell it to you, Father.
We're getting nowhere again. Come along, children. Take me home in my wagon.
Father! What's happening to the children?
What do you mean?
The administrator has taken them away in his wagon.
No, Marto, he's taking them home. That's what he said.
He got the children in his wagon all right. Then he whipped the horses and set off at a gallop in the direction of Alreng.
I have arrested the three of you and brought you to Alreng not only because of your wickedness, but because of your repeated unwillingness to cooperate with the authorities. Do you know how serious your offense is? And that those like yourselves who stubbornly and obstinately refuse to cooperate will be consigned to a dark prison cell with thieves and cutthroats for years and years. And you'll have only your willful selves to blame. Take them away, Constable.
Well, well, prisoners are getting younger every day. What are you three Litlands in this stinking prison for? Have you been robbing banks?
No, sir.
Hear that? They call him sir. He's a thief, little girl. He's an idiot for thieving.
And what are you in here for?
Well, you might say I'm very handy with a knife. The rest of them are a fair selection of the riffraff of our rank and district. Drunkards, brawlers, and smelly wires.
So you've nothing to fear from any of them, Litlands. We'll look after you. What's your name?
I'm Jacinta. This is my brother Francisco.
And I'm Lucia.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you. So why are you in here?
We saw a beautiful lady at the Cova da Iria.
Oh, the children of Fatima. Everybody's talking about you. That's no reason for putting you in prison.
The lady told us a secret, which we haven't to tell anyone. But the administrator says we can't keep it a secret from the government.
Well, all we have to do is to tell the administrator the secret. What does it matter whether the lady wants it to or not?
He's right. You tell the administrator what he wants to know.
Never. I'd rather die.
Me too.
And so would I. I wonder what's happening at the Cova.
Our lady must be very sad because we didn't go today. She won't appear to us again. I would so love to see her.
Let's say the rosary.
Look, there's a nail on the wall.
We can hang my medal on this nail underneath the medal.
But the nail is too high for us to reach.
Would you hang my medal on the nail for us, sir?
I'd be delighted to oblige, little lady.
Thank you. Let's kneel down. Do they all want to pray with us?
Oh, looks like it. They're all on their knees. What a sight for sore eyes. Though I doubt if some of them know how to pray.
We'll say the glorious mysteries. The first glorious mystery. The
one moment, Mr. Cheer. There's a prisoner with his cap still on.
Excuse me, sir, but if you wish to pray, you should take your cap off.
You take it, sir.
I'll put it on top of mine on the bench. Are we all ready now? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Martu, any news of the children?
Nothing. We can't even find out where they are.
Is it true that the administrator had them secretly transferred to Santarem?
There are all sorts of stories going about.
Oh, we all prayed for them at Mass this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jacinta, why are you crying again? Don't you want to offer all this as a sacrifice to our Lord?
Yes, I do, but I keep thinking about my mother and how I'm missing her, and I can't help crying.
Hey, Jacinta, can you dance?
Dance? Yes, I can dance.
Because we have with us today, brought here at great expense and at the special request of the government, one who plays a concertina like no other. What dances do you know, lasses?
Fandango and the Vera.
Jacinta's partner was the poor thief, who, finding her so tiny, picked her up and went on dancing with her in his arms. We only hope that our ladies have pity on his soul and converted him.
Little Jacinta, may I have the pleasure of this dance?
I love dancing. It makes me feel so much better.
I'm glad to hear it, young lady. Come on, you kids. Ministry has got something specially prepared for you. Come on with her.
Well, now, you've had plenty of time to think about it. Are you going to tell me the secret or not? If you do not tell me, you will be taken out one by one and boiled alive in a cauldron of oil. Now, who is going to save themselves from a horrible death by telling me the secret? Executioner!
Present, Senor Administrator. I await your orders.
Are you going to tell me? You haven't got much time. Is the oil good and hot, Executioner?
Boiling.
Right. And start now with the little one.
Not Jacinta.
Yes, Jacinta.
I got her.
You can save her if you want that. But you'll have to tell me quickly. You don't want your sister to die, do you?
If you kill us, we'll soon be in heaven. God grant that Jacinta won't be afraid. Hail Mary.
Stupid boy. What are you doing now?
I'm saying a Hail Mary so that Jacinta won't be afraid.
Execution complete.
Yes, sir. Done to a crisp in seconds.
Yeah. Take the boy next.
Come on, you.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, that's what they all say that they are. Go on, get on with you then.
You're the only one left now, Lucia. And it will be you next. You'd better tell me the secret while you still got the chance.
I would rather die.
A terrible death awaits you behind that door.
I'm not telling you anything.
You're a very stubborn, stupid girl, and you deserve everything that's happening to you. Now, the executioner's back for you. Your last chance. How did the boy die, executioner?
Frightened to death, screaming his head off like they all do. Shall I take her now?
Yeah, unless she wants to talk.
No.
The other two wanted to talk at the last minute, but it was too late. They were in the oil.
Well, you still got the chance. Do you want to answer my questions?
No.
Then take her, executioner. Oh, you seconds to change your mind.
No, no, no. Jacinta, Francisco, you're not dead.
We didn't tell them, Lucia. We didn't tell them anything.
They said you were executed. Oh, I'm so happy, so happy.
What made us suffer most when we were in prison was the feeling that our parents had abandoned us. With tears streaming down her cheeks, Jacinta would say, "Neither your parents nor mine have come to see us. They don't bother about us anymore." But after this absence or imprisonment, for I really don't know what to call it, we returned home on the 15th of August.
I was only doing my duty. I had my orders, Marto. After I had questioned them, I took them to my house. And my wife looked after them as if they were her own. Please come and have a glass of wine with me.
Down with the administrator! And all officials from
Iraq! Surprising. They're looking for the person responsible for kidnapping the children.
No! No, I was trying to keep the peace by preventing them from going to the covert and causing hysteria.
Well, I wouldn't tell them that if I were you.
What can I do?
Well, it looks as though I'm going to have that glass of wine with you after all. Take my arm and don't look round. One wrong move, they'll be on you like a pack of wolves.
Oh, there he is!
They see me!
Well, don't throw the gate and across the churchyard. There's a little wine shop by the gates of the cemetery.
Don't!
Run!
What are you going to do?
Try to get you out of Fatima in one piece. Boys! Boys, what's the rumpus about? Behave yourselves!
You want the man to blame for the children being taken away?
No one person is to blame. The fault is unbelief, lads. Now, I want a quiet word with the administrator, so break it up and go home. No good comes from violence, you know that.
A few days after our return, we were with the sheep near home in a place called Valinyush, when we felt something supernatural approaching and enveloping us. Then we saw the flash of light, which we call lightning. Jacinta arrived, and a moment later we saw Our Lady.
What do you want of me?
I want you to continue going to the cova on the 13th. And I want you to keep praying the rosary every day. In the last month, I will perform a miracle, so that all may believe.
I would like to ask you to cure some sick people.
Yes, I will cure some during the year. Pray. Pray very much. And make sacrifices for sinners. For many souls go to hell because there are none to sacrifice themselves and to pray for them.
Some days later, as we were walking along the road with our sheep, I found a piece of rope that had fallen off a cart. I picked it up and, just for fun, I tied it round my arm. Before long, I noticed that the rope was hurting me.
We could tie it round our waists. And offer that up as a sacrifice to God.
Let me have it. What are you doing, Francisco?
I'm cutting it. There, I've divided it into three. One piece for each of us.
Here. Either because of the thickness or the roughness of the rope, or because sometimes we tied it too tight, this instrument of penance often caused us terrible suffering. Now and then, Jacinta couldn't keep back her tears.
It's really smarting, Lucia. I can hardly bear it any longer.
We'll take it off, then.
No, I want to offer the sacrifice to our Lord in reparation. I wonder if our Lord is pleased with our sacrifices. Maybe we could ask Our Lady next time, Lucia.
On the 13th of September, I set out with Jacinta and Francisco. But owing to the crowds around us, we could only advance with difficulty. The roads were packed with people and everyone wanted to see us and speak to us. Simple folk and ladies and gentlemen struggled to break through the crowd that pressed around us. Others who couldn't get close to us shouted from a distance.
My crippled son, and mine, who is dead.
And to bring back my husband and son who've gone to the war.
And to give me back my health. I have tuberculosis.
At last we arrived at the cova. and shortly afterwards we saw the flash of light, and then our lady appeared on the home oak.
Continue to pray the rosary to bring to an end the war. Next month, in October, our Lord will come, and St. Joseph will appear with a child Jesus to bless the world. God is pleased with your sacrifices. He does not want you to sleep with the rope on, but only wear it during the daytime.
This is the last straw, Lucia. Everything we've sown in the cove has been trampled by the crowds. All our maize, potatoes and beans ruined.
Sorry, Mother.
When are you going to admit you're lying, Lucia?
That's enough of that, Maria. We don't know if it's true. But neither do we know if it's a lie. Do we know one way or the other? Leave a girl in peace.
We left home quite early, expecting that we'd be delayed along the way. Masses of people thronged the roads. The rain fell in torrents. My father and mother, their hearts torn with uncertainty as to what was going to happen and fearing it would be the last day of my life, came with us. On the way, the scenes of the previous month, still more numerous and moving, were repeated. Not even the muddy roads could prevent these people kneeling in the most humble and suppliant attitudes.
Fear the worst.
Our lady's promised a miracle. Don't worry.
Thank God I've caught you.
What's the matter?
The children mustn't go to the cobra today. The authorities intend to explode a bomb close to them at the very moment of the apparition.
Who said that?
It's all over the Sarah. They'll stop at nothing to discredit what's happening. You must turn back.
I'm not frightened. Francesco, Jacinta, what do you think?
I think how wonderful it would be if we went to heaven with Our Lady.
Yes, we're doing what Our Lady is asking us. So if they blow us up, she'll take us up to heaven.
If our daughter's going to die, I think as her parents we want to die by her side.
Once we'd reached the home oak, I asked the people to close their umbrellas. A little later we saw the flash and light, and Our Lady appeared.
What do you want of me?
I want to tell you that a chapel is to be built here in my honour. Continue to pray the rosary every day. The war is going to end, and the soldiers will soon return home. But sinners must amend their lives and ask forgiveness for their sins. Do not offend the Lord our God anymore. Because he is already much offended.
Then, opening her hands, she made them reflect on the sun. And as she ascended, the reflection of her own light continued to be projected on the sun itself.
Look at the sun!
The reason why I cried out, "Look at the sun, Your Excellency," was not to draw people's attention to it, because I wasn't aware of their presence.
The clouds are rolling away.
It stopped raining.
After Our Lady had disappeared into the immense distance, we beheld St. Joseph with the child Jesus, and Our Lady robed in white with a blue mantle beside the sun.
The sun started to spin, dancing, and turning all the colours of the rainbow.
St. Joseph and the child Jesus appeared to bless the world, for they traced the sign of the cross with their hands.
The sun's on fire. Blood red.
When, a little later, this apparition disappeared, I saw Our Lord and Our Lady. It seemed to me it was Our Lady of Sorrows.
Waiting to die. The sun's thundering down on us.
The end of the world.
Save us, Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, Mother of God, have mercy on us.
Oh, my God. Because you are so good, I am very sorry that I have sinned against you.
Our Lord seemed to bless the world in the same manner as St. Joseph had done.
Thank God it's over. Oh, my God, how great is thy power.
My clothes were drenched. Now I'm perfectly dry.
Before the astonished eyes of the people, whose attitude carries us back to biblical times, and who, full of terror, heads uncovered, gaze into the blue of the sky, the sun has trembled, and the sun has made some sudden movements, unprecedented and outside of all cosmic laws. The sun has danced. And this is O Seculo.
In O Seculo? That's a miracle in itself.
It describes the sun turning around on itself like a firework wheel that fell, almost to the point of burning the earth with its rays. All your journalist friends want certifying.
They must have been hypnotized like the rest, some sort of mass suggestion.
What? When it was also witnessed 30 miles away at Alburita? The crowds didn't stretch that far.
Well, that's how I'm going to explain it anyway.
And what about Lisbon? What can I tell them?
Well, Secular is their paper. They've got eyewitness accounts.
What do you suddenly find so amusing?
I'm just thinking that if this God in heaven does by any chance exist, then he must have a very good sense of humor.
The government showed disapproval at the way things were going. One night, orders were given to cut down the home oak on which the apparitions had taken place and drag it away behind a car. In the morning, news of what had happened spread like wildfire. I ran to the place to see if it were true, but what was my delight to find the poor men had made a mistake, and instead of cutting down Our Lady's home oak, they'd carried off one of the others growing nearby.
The tree! The tree! They've cut down the wrong tree! Yoo-hoo!
My mother then decided to send me to school, and Jacinta went with me. Sometimes Francesco would walk with us, and as soon as we reached Fatima, he'd say, "Listen, you go to school, and I'll spend the day here in church close to the hidden Jesus. It's not worth my while learning to read, as I'll be going to heaven very soon."
Breathe in. Breathe out. The boy has Spanish influenza.
What is that, Doctor?
An epidemic that's scourging the whole of Europe. It's believed to have started in the trenches on the Western Front. It's killed more people already than all the battles of the war. But he looks a strong child, and children have remarkable powers of recuperation.
While he was ill, Francesco always appeared joyful and content.
Are you suffering a lot, Francesco? Quite a lot, but never mind. I'm suffering to console Our Lord. Lucia, here's the rope. I don't feel able to wear it anymore.
Give it to me. Francesco, once you get to heaven, don't forget to ask Our Lady to take me there soon as well.
No, I won't ask that. You know very well she doesn't want you there yet.
One day, early in the morning, I was told Francesco was very bad and wanted to tell me something. I dressed as fast as I could and went over.
I'm going to confession so that I can receive Holy Communion and then die, Lucia. I want you to tell me if you have seen me commit any sin.
You disobeyed your mother a few times when she told you to stay at home.
That's true. Oh, Jesus, forgive us. Save us from the fire of hell. Lead all souls to heaven. especially those who are most in need.
I went off to my school lessons and work. When I came home at night, I found him radiant with joy.
I have the hidden Jesus in my heart. I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to pray very much to our Lord and our Lady to bring you and Jacinta there soon. I will miss you terribly in heaven.
You won't miss me.
Just imagine, you right there with our Lord and our Lady. They are so good.
That's true.
That night, I said goodbye to him.
Francesco, if you go to heaven tonight, don't forget me when you get there. Do you hear me?
No. I won't forget. Be sure of that.
Do you want anything more?
No. Nothing.
Goodbye then, Francesco. Till we meet in heaven.
Mother.
Yes, Francesco.
There's a pretty light near the door. Mother, I ask your blessing and your pardon for any trouble I have caused you.
Oh, if you have, I forgive you 1,000 times. But you've been no trouble, my love. You've been no trouble at all.
I could never describe how much I missed him. This grief was a thorn that pierced my heart for years to come. It's a memory of the past that echoes forever onto eternity. The evening before Jacinta fell sick, she said she had a terrible headache and was very thirsty, but she wouldn't take a drink because she wanted to suffer for sinners.
Oh, you were in Francesco's room.
Yes, it's near the front door, and I can hear and see people better.
Oh, Lucia's back from school. I brought you a cup of milk, Jacinta. I want you to try it. So much better, love. Now, anything else?
No, thank you, Mother.
I'll leave you two together, then.
If only you knew how hard it was for me to drink that milk, Lucia. I've such terrible pains in my chest.
On one occasion, she sent for me to come and see her at once. I ran right over.
What is it, Jacinta?
Our Lady has been.
What did she say?
She asked me if I still wanted to convert more sinners. I said I did.
And?
She told me I would be going to hospital, and so I'm going to suffer for the conversion of sinners, in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and for the love of Jesus. I asked if you would go with me. She said I would have to stay there all alone.
After this, she was thoughtful for a while.
If only you could be with me. Maybe the hospital is a big dark house where you can't see, and I'll be there suffering all alone. But never mind. It's a good sacrifice.
Signora Marco.
Yes, Doctor.
I must be frank with you. After examining your daughter, I'm convinced the child will die soon, unless arrangements are made immediately to send her to a good hospital.
But how could we get our daughter into a good hospital?
I am not without influence.
That's very kind of you, but...
But what?
I feel it is useless to try to keep her alive if Our Lady has promised to come for her soon.
The will of Our Lady is superior to all human considerations, I agree. But don't you see, the only way to make sure that Our Lady does, in fact, wish to take her is to exhaust all scientific means of preserving her life.
Jacinta suffered terribly right up until the day of her departure. She kept clinging to me and sobbing.
I'll never see you again. Goodbye, Lucia.
From Lisbon, she sent me word that Our Lady had come to see her there. She told her the day and hour of her death, and that she must not be afraid, since Our Lady herself was coming to take her to heaven.
How is the patient, nurse?
She seems to be in great pain.
We've had to remove 2 ribs on her left side, and there's an open wound which will have to be treated daily.
Yes, Doctor. Good night, Doctor.
What have they done to you, my little love? They've left you with a wound big enough to put a man's fist in. Some of these surgeons are no better than butchers these days. Your operation's over. You'll be getting better now.
She's still in pain, nurse.
Yes. For the last 6 days, she seems to have been in constant pain, Doctor.
Continue the same treatment, nurse.
What's the date?
It's February the 16th. But why do you want to know the date? And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. Our lady has taken away my pain.
Then you're going to get well.
No. Our lady has told me the day and the hour of my death. I will die alone, and she will come for me.
I'll see to it that you're not alone, my love. I'll be with you.
For 4 days, Jacinta was free of all pain. About 6 o'clock in the evening of Friday the 20th of February, 1920, she said, "I'm about to die. I would like to make my confession and receive the last sacraments." She told her nurse, "Confession is such a sacrament of mercy. We should go to it with confidence and joy."
It's quite dark.
This whole hospital is a dark and depressing place. But I'm going to stay with you. You won't die alone, Jacinta. I'll be here.
Nurse, there's an emergency.
Coming.
While the nurse was away, Jacinta breathed her last.
I'm back, Jacinta. Oh, Jacinta. You've died as you said you would. All alone. But what a beautiful, beautiful fragrance. I suppose it had to be that way. I'm sure our mother in heaven must have come for you.
I understand you wish to see me, Senor Administrator.
Monsignor Silva, sit down. Despite your false claims in the past that you were tortured, I wish to welcome you officially as a newly appointed Bishop of Liria.
Thank you, Senor Administrator.
I'd also like to know what your plans are as regards Fatima.
The surviving child, Lucia, has agreed to go into a convent where her identity will be known only to the Mother Superior.
Excellent. So, the recent happenings at Fatima may now soon be forgotten, which I am sure will improve the relationship between church and state.
The happenings at Fatima will be thoroughly investigated by the church.
Investigated? This cannot be. Hasn't the Cardinal Patriarch of Lisbon laid down the penalty of excommunication for any of the clergy who speak about these so-called apparitions?
No doubt as a result of great pressure from your government.
But you must obey the Cardinal Patriarch.
I must obey Christ's representative on earth and successor of St. Peter, who appointed me.
Are you telling me the Pope has given you special powers?
The newly created Diocese of Liria is outside the jurisdiction of the Cardinal of Lisbon.
This is scandalous. The power of the Cardinal Patriarch must be respected.
I never realized you and your government were so concerned about upholding the authority of the Cardinal, Senor Administrator.
The government considers the whole of the Fatima apparitions a complete fabrication, my Lord Bishop.
Then you and your government have nothing to worry about. If it is false, it will be condemned. And if it is not from God, it will wither and be forgotten. But if it is from God, no power on earth will prevent it flourishing, Senor Administrator.
On March the 6th, 1922, 4 bombs destroyed the newly built chapel at Fatima. The opposition of the government only increased devotion. In 1927, Bishop Silva led the first official pilgrimage to Fatima, and the following year, 300,000, who is still living, is Sister Mary Lucia of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a discalced Carmelite nun.
My Lord Bishop, in obedience to my confessor, I write to inform you that on December the 10th, 1925, the Most Holy Virgin appeared once more and instructed me to make known this promise to everyone on earth. She said, "Tell them I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months shall confess, receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes. A few months later, on the 15th of February 1926, I went to throw out a panful of rubbish beyond the vegetable garden when I met a child. He turned to me and said, 'Have you spread through the world what our Heavenly Mother requested of you?' Knowing who it was, I said, 'My Jesus, you know very well what my confessor said to me, that it was necessary for this vision to be repeated.' He said, 'It is enough that your confessor gives you permission and that your superiors speak of it for it to be believed. Your Excellency, Our Lady's wishes have not yet been carried out. What Our Lady specifically requested the Church was that the Pope, in union with all the bishops in the world, should make the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. This has not been done. But Our Lady has promised the Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she will be converted, and a time of peace will be granted to the world.'"
Salve Regina, Mater misericordiae, vita dulcedo, et spes nostra salve. A te clamamus.
In Fatima by William Keenan, Sister Lucia was played by Mary Wimbush, Young Lucia by Sarah O'Keefe, Francisco by Barnaby Jenkins, Jacinta by Mary McLaughlin, and Our Lady by Deborah Makepeace. Marto was Christian Rodska, Olympia, Polly James, Antonio, Anthony Jackson, and Maria, Zila Clark. Santos was Steve Hodson, Jose, Peter Craze, the minister, Alan Dudley, and the official, Stephen Rashbrook. Father Silver was William Edel, Father Ferreira, John Baddeley, the doctor, John Sampson, the nurse, Caroline Gruber, and the neighbour, Eva Stewart. The flute player was John Everingham, and the accordionist, Peter Shuttler. Fatima was directed in Bristol by Sean McLaughlin.